The following Daf Yomi consists of several parts. It begins with the Daf Yomi recorded today, continues on with a quick review that allows you to go over the entire Daf in just 5 minutes, and then concludes with the last cycle's Daf Yomi, which you may enjoy more simply because there are different participants, has a different ambience. Enjoy! Today's Daf in Mesechet Zvachim is Daf Kuf Yud Chet, and we're holding on actually on Kuf Yud Chet about 1/3 of the way down, but I'd like you to look back on Kuf Yud Zayin to take a look at the sheet of Rabbi Shimon on the bottom of Amud Aleph that we're going to discuss today. So one line up from the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, we had, remember we have five different sheetot about precisely the dinim of the Bama Ketana versus the Bama Gedaila. Rabbi Shimon Shita is, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Av Tzibur lo hikrivu, ela pesachim v'chovot shekavu alem zman. So all of the sheetot held that the limitations, as we saw yesterday, on the akrova to Yosha be'inav, is dafke ish ha-yoshar be'inav. So a individual can only be makriv nedarim v'nevot. But those limitations do not apply to a tzibur. Assumedly, that would mean across the board. They don't apply on the tzibur because of the ish. Now, Rabbi Shimon says that actually, af tzibur lo ikrivu el psachim v'chovot shekavu alem zman. You're wrong. There's no such thing as a real difference between the yachid and the tzibur. Both of them are going to bring the korbanot that they bring as a matter of course, but not anything which is a chova as a result of something particular. So the yachid brings only the nedarim v'nedavot because he doesn't have other korbanos that are brought just in the course of things. And the tzibur would bring only the korbanot it brings in the course of things, and which would seem to mean even the Sirei HaRegalim, and so on. The only thing that it wouldn't bring would be the par, let's say, for Helam Dover Shal Tzibur, or the Sirei Avodat Kochavim. Those are not Kavuazma. That's the way we understood it, Chatchila, and that's the way that Rashi took the Gemara to mean at that point. Now today, we're going to see that it's not quite that simple. Let's take a look, first of all, at the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon. My time at Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon believe that we shouldn't read? So why not say that Alibad Rabbi Shimon, why not say that Ish means that there are no limitations on the Tzibur, and the limitations are only on the Ish? Says the Gemara, because there's an entirely different issue that Rabbi Shimon learns. My time to Rabbi Shimon, Tichtiv, if you take a look, historically what happens is, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael ha-Pasach ba-Gilgal. So after the Chanoya in Gilgal, it says that they did the Pesach, and this was on the 14th day of the Chodesh, Be'erev, Barvot Yericho. Now the assumption is that they made that Pesach in Gilgal, Aliba, all of its halachas, and we'll see the implications of that later. And the question is, what is the chiddush in that? I mean, all it needed to say was it was the 14th of the month. I mean, we don't need to know that everybody woke up in the morning and put on their tefillin. I mean, what's the news in this? So pshita, ela hakamash. Well, and therefore, what it's got to be saying is that all they were able to do were things like a Korban Pesach. Meaning, yes, they were able to make a Korban Pesach in the Gilgal. Why? Because a Pesach is kavuazman. But if it hadn't been kavuazman, they wouldn't have been able to bring a korban pesach in Gilgal. So a kamash von de chovot ke'ein pesach with the korban. But if it wouldn't be ke'ein pesach, lo korban. And therefore, there must be limitations on things that are not kavuazim zman, even for a tzibur. And what do all the other shitot to argue on this? And they say there are no limitations on the tzibur. Why indeed does it say vayasu b'nei Yisrael at ha-pesach ba-Gilgal? Miboy lele de Rabbi Yochanan. They learn out a very important thing from there. Yomar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Bana'a. Orel mekabel haza'a. Remember that most of B'nai Yisrael were Arelim in the Midbar. Remember also that almost all of them were Tmei Metim, since it would be a very rare situation where someone's father or mother had not, well, not mother, but father had died in the Midbar. In other words, the only ones who would be coming into Eretz Yisrael whose father hadn't died were someone whose father was under the age of 20. So maybe the father survived now. That's fine. There was no gezeirah on anyone who was under 20, right? Okay. But that means that most people certainly were tmei metim. Because it's a din of coming and being metapo and a mason. That's part of what you do. You're going to sit there. You're going to sit over the kever. You're going to be maspid. I mean, it's only a kohen who could think that. We'll go to the Beit HaKvarot, but we stay outside. So this means that if they were able to bring the Korban Pesach. Now, that, what that has to mean is that since the crossing of the Yarden was on the 10th, they would not have been mal on the 10th because you're not allowed to be mal after Tirdat HaDerech. It's not healthy. So they would need to rest, as the Gemara Yevamot points out. So then the Mila, the Mass Mila would have been on the 11th, at the earliest, right? So it was on the 11th. If they would have had to wait until they got their hazayah, they would have had to wait till after they had been mal, then that means that they would have only become tahar, since there's 3 days that you need to wait between hazayot. So then that means that the second hazayah was on the 15th of Nisan, it was already too late to bring the Korban Pesach. Over here it says they brought it on the 14th, mashma. They brought it with all of their halachot. They were neither Arelim nor Tmeim. That means that they must have actually been able to become Tahar before they got Mila. And that shows us that even though he's an Arel, there's no contradiction between Arelut and getting hazayah for Tumat Mate, despite the fact that the Arelut would have prevented the Achil of the Korban Pesach just as much as the Tuma, but it's irrelevant. One does not relate to the other. Toni Tana Kameder Vadabar Ahava. Now here came along a Tana that was saying over a Braita, and this Braita gave some very important additional information in the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, according to which Rashi will no longer be able to maintain his opinion. And this is the basis of Tosfos Tanya on Rashi yesterday. We mentioned yesterday that even according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that the Tzibur is able to bring Chovot Shekavu Alehem Zman, he was not referring to the Seirei HaRegalim. He was referring to the Olot, not the Chataot, as opposed to the way we understood the Chatchila. It doesn't matter what type of Korban it is. And that's because of the way this Bright is phrased. Now watch how it's phrased. Ein bein b'magdola l'b'magtana, ela pesach v'chovot ha'kavu alehem zman. And now this, remember that we understand a braita always to be something that is coming to point out what we might have missed in the Mishnah. Otherwise, it's just repetition of the Mishnah in these words. Omarle, so Rav Bar Abba said to the Tana, look, you've got to understand that as a reference to an olat chovah. Because if it's an olat nidava, you can contrast the Olat Chovah to it, you see. So let's consider what he's saying. He's separating out the Din of Pesach from the Din of other Chovot Shekavu Alehem Zman. That means that we are now contrasting the situation with the Yochid, Ein Bein Bama Gedola LeBama Ketana, other than that what you would have been able to bring in a Bama Ketana, which would have been a Nidava, can be brought on a Bama Gedola, even though it's a Chovah. Otherwise, I don't need to mention Pesach, you see. All I need to say is anything that's Kavu Azman is brought on the Bama Gedola and not on the Bama Ketana. If I'm mentioning Pesach plus anything else, which is Kavu Azman, what am I really saying? I'm saying that, well, there's one thing that is different that is not meant to be a comparison. It's just brought only in one place. That's the Bama Gedola. There's another thing which we need to contrast the Bama Gedola and the Bama Ketana to. The same carbon, which in the Bama Ketana is only able to be brought as a Nedava and a Neder, which is Yesharot, that type of carbon can be brought in a Bama Gedola even if it's not Yesharot. But any carbon which does not have at all a parallel in a Bama Ketana is not what I'm talking about. Since there is no parallel to a Yochid bringing a carbon that would be a Chatas as an Adava, there's no way for me to say, and an Adava of the Chatas is all you can bring in the Bama Ketana, and a Chov of a Chatas can be brought in a Bama Ketana, because there simply is no such animal. Therefore, the only thing that he's coming to contrast is clearly the carbon that is available as an adava in location A, Bama Ketana, versus an extension of that oila, which even when it's a chovah can be brought in location B, which is the Bama Gedola. But anything that I can't fit into those two slots is not mentioned here, because if it would be, then what would be the point of mentioning Pesach separately, you see? I could have said, if I meant Chatas, I would have had to say Pesach and a Chatas, and the Chiyuvim that are Kavu Alehem Zman, which in the Bama Ketana are not Kavu Alehem Zman, but are Nida V'Nida, you see? Therefore, he says to him, look, to Targei Matnitecha Bolat Chovah, you can only understand the braita that you just quoted as stressing that Rabbi Shimon is contrasting the olat chovah to its equivalent in the Bama Ketana, which is the olat nedava. But he cannot be contrasting the chatas. Now Rashi's girsa is the ibe chatat chatat nedava miika. There is no chatat nedava to which he could be contrasting the chatat chovah. Now our girsa is slightly different. If it's talking about a chatat, so then I chatat, is there such a thing of a yachid chovot kaviya leizman miika? What does that mean? The same thing, except that it's taking another possible contrast. What it might be doing is this. It's just a little tiny bit complicated. What it might be doing is this. There's two ways that we can contrast this. We can contrast the karbonis that are brought by the yachid as a nedav and a dava to the karbonis that are brought on the bar mitzvah, which can even be more than a nedav and a dava. Okay, that doesn't include chat. But there might have been another contrast. We have the chataot that cannot be brought. You're right, there's no chataot. That cannot be brought, even when they're kavua lem zman on the Baba Ketana, but can be brought when they're kavua lem zman on the Bama Gedela. Now, what's wrong with that contrast? What's wrong with that contrast is there are no chataot that are kavua lem zman for yachid, period. So therefore, no matter how you want to set up the contrast, it doesn't work. You're trying to contrast nedava versus chova. Okay, there's no chatas nedava at all. Sorry. All right. Let me contrast the chatat chovat yachid with the chatat chovat tzibur. Sorry. There is no chatat chovat yachid. So there's no way to include the chatas in the contrast at all, no matter how you look at the contrast. So one girsa in the Gemara, what's the problem?
There is no chatat
chovat kavua lemzman yachid. Yeah, there's no such thing. So no matter how you want to contrast it, the very fact that Rabbi Shimon has set up the equation over here as a contrast means that if I can't fill both sides of this equation, I can't discuss it. And therefore, he was never referring to chataot. He was only referring to the difference between an olat chova. So yes, you want to bring the olat tamid in Gilgal? Absolutely. You want to bring the musafim, the olat portion of the musafim? Absolutely. But don't start thinking about bringing the Se'irei HaRegolim, which were chataot, even in Gilgal, because that was, he was never contrasting to the yachid. Okay? We happy? And this explains why we would have two totally different categories, Chutz Min HaPesach, and anything else, we're just kavua lezman. Says the Gemara, how come he didn't mention Menachot? I mean, that would be a good contrast. He could have said, the difference is that a minchat chova, okay, fine, no chatas, but mincha, there's such a thing as a chova for the tzibur, there's the chavite kohen gadol, which could be brought in Gilgal, versus the mincha, which could be brought in the Bamat Yachid, but only Bederin Benadava. So that would be just as good as Oyla. So Gemara, yeah, it would be, if there was such a thing as a Mincha Babama. But if you hold like the Chachomim Ma'arga and Rabbi Meir, that we just had, and say that there ain't Mincha Babama at all, Ushita we're going to be getting to very soon, tomorrow, so then, you can't say, obviously I want to contrast the Mincha and Abama Ketana to the Mincha and Abama Gedela with Jeshova, because there was no Mincha in Abama Ketana. So we're left with the only contrast in Ola. On Abama Ketana, it can be brought only Beneder Benedava. On Abama Gedela, it can be brought even as a Chova. Mincha is excluded because it's not brought Bichlal on Abama Ketana. Chatas is excluded because it isn't going to be contrasted with the individual and the tzibur. Now, says the Mishnah, Bo leShiloh. We arrive at Shiloh, and there one is allowed to eat B'chol haro'eh. And there was no mechitza for the achila of Kachib Kalim and for Maaser Sheni. As long as Shiloh was visible, you were allowed to eat. And what was Shiloh, says the Mishnah? Shiloh was built as a mishkan on top, meaning it had yiriot, but it had a bayit, meaning it had walls that were made out of stone along the side. How do we know that? Ask the Gemara Minani, really. On Rabbi Abarava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Well, look, there's a contradiction to Pesukim. On the one hand, it says, Vativieu Beit Hashem Shiloh. This is when Chana brings Shmuel and brings him to the Beit Hashem. Vikatu Vechadomer. And yet, we find in Tehillim that Shiloh is referred to as a Mishkan. Vayitosh Mishkan Shiloh. Now, was it Beit Hashem Shiloh or was it Mishkan Shiloh? We find that the Pasuk in Tehillim refers to it as Ohel Yosef. So it says there, Vayim As Ohel Yosef. Ubishevet Ephraim Lo Bachar. What is that Ohel of Yosef? The Ohel that was built. Bechalko Shel Yosef for Shiloh. And there it's called an Ohel. So it's called Ohel Mishkan on the one hand, and Beit Hashem on the other hand. Obviously, it's got to be able to satisfy both of those descriptions. Okay, so Lo Hayta Sham Tikra, Ela Avanim Milamatan, and Yiriot Milamalan. That's the only possible explanation. So we have here a mixture, a transitional phase between the Mishkan and the Midbar, which was completely portable, including its Yiriot, and the Bayis in Yerushalayim, which was completely a Bayit, entirely something that appeared to be a Bayit as would be a Bayit for a human. And we had a transitional Shiloh in which elements of travel and temporary and sukkah-like machaneh were expressed, albeit for centuries. And on the other hand, it was partially, permanently in place. Now, we continued on in the Mishnah to say that Kodshei Kodashim, Wernecha b'kol haro'eh, Ma'aser Sheni b'kol haro'eh. Where do we get that from? Minani bilei. Omar Rabbi Oshaya, Diomakro. Here is the pasuk that we've built really the whole last part of the Masechta on from the time that we began discussing the dinim of Shkut Echutz. So it says there, Hishamer lecha, Pen ta'ale olotecha b'chol makom asher tir'eh. This was, of course, our Re'eh story. So the idea is do not bring your olot every place that you can see. Ah, okay, don't bring your olot. So iyata ma'ale. So b'chol makom asher ata tir'eh, iyata ma'ale. But it's stressing, don't bring those olot wherever you look. But you can eat your korbanot wherever you look. Aval ata ochel b'chol makom shata ro'eh. I don't see that at all. Why don't we see the pasuk in Re'eh as a contrast of la'alot versus lishkot? I mean, that was the whole idea. Up until now, we had two sugyas, shkitas chutz, halas chutz, one of which was entirely in Achrimot, the other one which we needed to also go to Re'eh. So, I mean, if we're looking at the pasuk in Re'eh to stress that Yishar Melacha, this is the makor of the love of halah, then we should say, oh, don't be male b'chol makom asher ata ro'eh, but you can be zoveach b'chol makom asher ata ro'eh. Because, I mean, after all, shkita is kosher with a zar and so on and so forth. So maybe the idea is that in Shiloh, you were allowed to do shkita. Omer, Abiyan, I know that for sure you can't say, because we have a long-standing drosha that compares, which happens to be the very next pasuk, that says, Kim b'makom asher yivchar Hashem, sham ta'aleh olotecha v'sham ta'aseh. So obviously, we'd already compared all other asiyot to the aliyah. And that, in fact, that was what we were talking about, even zvika sadam and so on. There's no way that the shum is going to be different for the zvika versus the halah. Therefore, if it's stressing the halah, it's not referring to as opposed to what came before, it's opposed to what's coming after, that is to say the achila. So you can need to make sure that you do the akrava sakor, but including a shkita inside of the mechitzot of Shiloh. But then the achila can be anywhere that you wish, as long as you could see it. B'chol makom asher tir'eh. That is Rav Oshaya's drasha. Rav Yavudimi bar Chama Amar. I have a different makor for this, and that is Omar Kra. V'lo ta'anat Shiloh. Now, the problem is there is no such pasuk. But as Rashi says, it's a very cute Rashi, because he said, I really looked. I mean, what does that mean? He read through the entire Tanakh again to make sure that he didn't miss it. It's quite interesting. Yeah, he did a search. What do you mean I looked? Chipastis. I did the chipus, but it didn't come up on my iPhone. I mean, how do you do a chipus? Other than reading through the entire Tanakh. You know, like, where would you look for such a thing if you don't remember it in Tanakh? It's very striking. Well, you got to look at the first Rashi, but you're looking at all the last Rashis by looking at the wrong place, since there are no Tosfos. Okay, now you understand. So chipastim velo mitzatim, which of course is a takeoff on the posik. So he might have just been doing it, you know, as a takeoff. But it's cute. No. I mean, there is a close posik. The posik is that the gvul was mizracha ta'anat Shiloh. Now, the word ta'anat Shiloh is a very strange word, and it doesn't really explain where the gvul turned. Because you're talking about a place that we could obviously recognize. So if we follow the story of the gvulot ha'aretz, we can get to to a place that we will know is Ta'anat Shiloh. Now, what could that possibly mean? We know that the word Ta'ana in Hebrew is a sense of mourning. Ta'aniya va'aniya. Right? So it's unhappy. Now, that must mean that there is a place that you reach that is free of any sense of mechitza, just a place where you will suffer the pain of the memories of the good things that once were in Shiloh. So what that has to mean is that the visibility of Shiloh from that place is the corner of the Gvul. And why is the visibility a Ta'ana? Because apparently there were good things happening there in the sense that you were allowed to eat kachim there, even though it's nowhere near Shiloh. But it's the Ta'anat of Shiloh. So that means Makom Shekol Haro'eoto Mit'aneach Alav Alechilat Kadoshim Shiloh. So if this is a good enough identifier that allows us to see the Gvulot Ha'aretz, obviously it's dependent on visibility, not on archaeological finds. So I have to be able to follow it through and say, oh, here's the Ta'anat Shiloh, because here's the place where I could see. Very kind of creative kind of way of reading the pasuk. Rebbe Abba Omer. I mean, obviously, all of these psukim are taking for granted the fact that we know that people ate in Shiloh b'chol haroed. And the question is, where is the remez for it? Rebbe Abba Omer. Look, it's basically in the pasuk that Yaakov Avinu gives here as the bracha to Yosef. He says, "Ben porat Yosef." Now, porat is a sense of pirayon, spreading, producing beyond what is normally acceptable. And he attributes the Porat Yosef to the Ben Porat Alei Ayin, from having been able to go beyond his eye, which means it was Pirayon that was based on the eye. So this is Ayin, Shelo Ratzta Lazun V'Le'enot B'Davar She'eno Shelo, Tizkeh V'Tochal K'Melo Eineha. The Mishkan that is built in the Chelka of Yosef should reflect the fact that to Yosef, seeing is not a source of being dragged in against your will to complicating and compromising situations, but rather is not connected to the violation of boundaries, and therefore does not require a physical boundary. That's the point. So normally the mechitzot in the Mishkan, as we know, the death of Dorav Avihu, is very mechitza-oriented. It's boundaries. Human beings like physical boundaries. So if you have on Har Sinai things that there weren't actually gates, so then you had speaking boundaries, in which if you move beyond an invisible line, there would be an announcement, go no further. Okay, that's also a boundary. Yosef had a miserable time because there were no physical boundaries. He's got this woman telling him, come on, come on, come on. And all the boundaries are theoretical. And yet those theoretical boundaries were enough in his mind. It's as if there was an actual wall there. It's, look, I can't go beyond this step. That type of boundary allows the Mishkan that's reflected in your chelek not to need physical boundaries. So then your eyes are not going to be drawn out of the correct space. That's what it means. Therefore, the pirayon of Yosef, which is an expansion beyond that which is normally acceptable outside of boundaries, is attributed to the fact that he is above the general human power of dealing with one's eyes, alei ayin. So therefore it makes perfectly good sense to say that the extension of Shiloh is based on the ayin, because that's why we're allowing you to eat without a boundary. So as long as you can see, you can eat. Brilliant. Man, oh man, do you understand the level of assumptions that are, it's beautiful. Oh, it makes absolutely no sense to a person just usually reading it through and say, silly. When you have the background to understand the implications of all of these issues, you see how that's exactly what it would be implying. Yes, Rabbi Yaakov. What do you mean, how does it relate to Machane? Exactly that way, Machane. That is the Machane, as we're saying. That is Machane Yisrael. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina says, it's part of the bracha of Moshe to Yosef. You don't have to go to Yaakov about Ben Porat. Because what it is that Moshe says to Yosef is, Uretzon shochni sne, these, mimeged eretzim loa, should be tavot ala rosh Yosef. So what does that mean? Uretzon shochni sne is, ayin shaloratz tale enot bidavashe no shole, shalom. Someone who was able to maintain boundaries, no matter what the situation was, should be given the pleasure of being able to eat between those who hate his guts. Which is a lovely, lovely drasha. So that that normally the boundaries are, okay, look, don't come into our section, say the adjoining Shvatim. Stick to your own kind. Comes along the B'chol HaRo'eh of Shimon, and somebody is sitting here in the middle of someone who hates Yosef's guts. And he says, what are you doing eating Kachim Kalim here? What do you mean? It's within range of Yosef. So basically, it's the schus of boundaries that transcend personal hatred. I couldn't care less. So this is the Ratzon Shofni Seneh, in the sense of sin'ah. Tana, ro'eh she'amru, ro'eh kulo, but not mafsik beino leveina. So when we said, the words of ro'eh kulo are very disturbing here, as you're going to see in a moment, and indeed are taken out by the Shita, and we're left with, this is kol ha-ro'eh, not ro'eh kulo, kol ha-ro'eh ve'en efsek beino leveina. So in other words, even if you can see, but it's blocked by something, what you can see is blocked, that's not called ro'eh. So if there's something in the way between you and Shiloh, it doesn't count. Let me explain to you what this would mean. You know the Beit HaKnesset in Ma'on? The Beit HaKnesset in Ma'on is exactly an example of where you would see Shiloh perfectly from, and there's nothing in the way. You have a direct line of sight. That's what we're talking about. But if you know that as the crow flies, you'd be able to see Shiloh, except that unfortunately there's a mountain in the way, that doesn't count. Omer of Papa, there's another din, which is that you do not have to see the whole Shiloh, and that's what's so disturbing the previous thing. This is not a machlok, it's a different issue. So what it is that you need to see in direct line of sight could be any part of Shiloh. You don't need to see the entire Shiloh, and then that's called Roe of Shiloh. Lo Roe Kulo, Lo Roe Miktato. So if you have a view just of a small part, but it's an unobstructed view, then that is considered to be Bechol HaRoeh also. Boy of Papa, Omeid V'Roeh. Well, how about if you're standing, it's line of sight. But if you're sitting, it's not line of sight. So you're Shei Veino Roeh. Does that count as line of sight, or it means from anywhere where you were? My. Boy Reb Yirmia. How about if you're standing at the edge of a nachal, a sfat ha-nachal v'ro'eh, but if you're betoch ha-nachal eino ro'eh, is that called not line of sight? Because over there, the surface level could be, it's the surface level, I see from the surface. You're saying, okay, but I go down into the valley. I mean, going down into the valley, if I could stay at the edge, I don't want to climb down into a crevice. I mean, that's not called a different place, is it? It's beneath the surface. So, okay, but the surface here I can see. Shiloh. Further question. Take. Kiyotar Dimi Omar Rabbi. Sorry?
The place where Shiloh was,
not Shiloh itself. The actual
Yeah. No, the place where Shiloh was.
After destruction.
Well, I mean, then there wasn't Roy to be eaten in his bottle. It's really not Nagir, but it's the Mokum that's important. Omar Rabbi, B'shloshah v'kamot shartah shchinah Yisrael. It's a question whether really to be Ger shloshah v'kamot, because it isn't really true. Shloshah, because we're going to actually count Nov and Givon as one place. That's really clearly two different places. That means there were three tkufot of Mishkan, where we had the hashras hashchinah, and that was Shiloh, Nov and Givon, and Beit Olamim. U'bekulah lo sharta ela b'chelek binyamin. In all of these places, it was only in Chelek Binyamin that we had a din of actual Hashras Hashchina. Shenemar chofeif olav kol hayom, kol chafifot, lo yu ela b'chol kosho binyamin. Wherever there is a chafifa, wherever there's a boundary condition in which the Shechina relates to Yisrael, it's got to be in Binyamin. That's where the chafifot take place. So Abaye hears this. He comes and he tells it over to Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef says, you know, it's such a shame. Your father was a good man. And he had one son. Chad bara havilei lechailil. And he's an idiot. I love it. Velo mitkan. You know, just didn't work out. I don't understand how you could listen to that and keep your mouth shut and then come over here and repeat it to me and I'm supposed to take it seriously. What do you mean? It's a Ferish of Pasuk that says Vayitosh Mishkan Shiloh and continues on to say Vayimas Be'oel Yosef. Can you read? Is Yosef Binyamin? What do you mean? Chofev Kalav Kalayom, including Shiloh, is Binyamin? Ubeshevet Ephraim Lo Bachar? So now, you never bothered reading Tehillim, I assume. So you can actually sit there and hear such inanities that Shiloh is in Binyamin, wherever any idiot knows that Shiloh is not in Binyamin. Omrevada, well, Micah Kashalai. Why is that so terrible? I mean, you can say the same thing really about Yerushalayim. We had also a problem over there, in where you have the Shechina per se, where the Achila is of the Karbonas. So that could be in Binyamin. But the Sanhedrin Gedola was Bechelek Yosef. I mean, that's also a concept of chafifa that we find exactly in the Beit HaMikdash, remember. Chofeifal of Kalayom was the fact that Binyamin HaTzadik was upset that Yehuda had a chelek, that was the chelek, where the Mechokeki, who is Yehuda, is right up against the Mizbeach, messes up the Yesod, because he can't have a Yesod in the area of Yehuda, and he was all upset. Maybe the same thing happened over there. Maybe, really, it is Ohel Yosef, yes, Mishkan Shiloh, but there's the chafifa to Binyamin. And it was the Binyamin Chafifa that allowed the Shechina to be Shaira. Maybe that's the point. So it was Yosef was took the place of Yehuda. Does that make sense? I mean, it's always the Yosef and Yehuda issues aren't in terms of the Akrav of Karbonot, which are in the section of the Ze'ev and everything, right? I mean, it's in terms of their perception of the world. So that would really be Sanhedrin. So maybe the Sanhedrin is in Yosef the way Sanhedrin was in Yehuda. And the Beit HaMikdash portion that we're referring to as Loshor Sashchina in terms of Karbonot, maybe that indeed was in the Chelek of Binyamin. Yeah, well, I mean, we find the same thing in the Matzina with Beit HaOlamim. Shechina was Bechelek Yosef Binyamin, and that included the Orion and the Karbonos and so on. Sanhedrin was Bechelek Yosef, so maybe Mishkan Shiloh is the same way. Oh, Omar Lay, you know, this is getting crazier all the time. How in the world would the Chelek of Yosef be Chofef the Chelek of Binyamin when they were nowhere close to each other? Binyamin we're saying now is to Yosef as Yehuda was to Binyamin, right? Mm-hmm. How did that happen? Shiloh is in the middle of Yosef's Chelek. Now you're saying, but the part that was in Binyamin and Shiloh and Yosef were not next to each other. Now, this is Barnea's neighborhood, and he's going to give us a tour.
South had Yehuda, the borders on Binyamin, it's like Binyamin belt. Binyamin touches Ephraim a little bit by Gezer when you go west, and it also touches, probably touched Dan a little bit also.
Louder.
And then you go into the Beit El area, and it's a line that's a boundary between Binyamin and Ephraim. It's still Binyamin. Shiloh is in Ephraim. But
here we are. And he says, that, what is the matter with you? What kind of craziness is this comparing the line, which is like a few meters between the area that was Yehuda and Binyamin in Yerushalayim, and the line that will separate Shiloh from any other chalek that's around it? Atam mikarev nachalot gabi adade. In Yerushalayim, you had that you're talking like such an Amoritz. Yeah, the Nachalot, one next to each other. Over here, you don't have the Nachalot next to each other. No, not true. Because Ezra Barnea, who of course lives in that neighborhood, explains, Kiriko Ama, it doesn't say Rabbi Barnea, maybe there was an earlier source. Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Hanina explains, Ritzua haita yotzeit michalkoshi udav nechnaset lechalkosha bin yamin, uba haya mizbeach banui, vaya bin yanam yaman atzadik mitzter ala alabal. Ah, hachi nami, you're right, it wasn't mikorev, but Ritzua haita yotzeit michalkosha yosef lechalkosha bin yamin. In the same way, Chofeifal of Kalayom is Tsa'ar, because again, they were miserable about the mixture of these Ritzuot. And therefore, we see here too that there was a Ta'anachilo, there was mourning about this Ritzua. And therefore, it's not as dumb as it seems. Because even in the Beit HaMikdash, you needed to have a very strange outgrowth. It's real gerrymandering to get it and shave it, show Yehuda. So why not say the same thing? That is gerrymandering into the shevet of Yosef. And that exactly would be the same lashon of Chofeifa Lafkalayom, as we said there in that Binyamin HaTzadik was mitzta'er. So therefore, we would have the same thing. We have a mit'onen, is the same as Chofeif, mitzta'er alea, on this as well. Because Binyamin would have loved, really, to have the whole kitanoi. Chofeif alav kol hayom. So now, how do we read these pasuk? The chofeif alav kol hayom is the Mikdash Rishon. The chofeif is in the Mikdash Rishon. Kol hayom means even in the time of the Mikdash Sheni. And ben ketefav shachen refers to Yimot HaMashiach. But there's no mention here of Shiloh at all as having any of the issues of Binyamin. Whereas Rebbe Omer chofeif alav is olam hazeh, meaning all chafifot, and therefore would include Shiloh. Kol Hayom is a reference to Yemot HaMashiach. Ubein Ketefav Shachein refers to Olam Haba, according to which any place in Olam Hazeh, including Shiloh, including Nov and Givon, had to have involved Binyamin. Tana Rabbana, if we analyze the history that we know, we can also work out some of the specific history that we don't know. Because we do have a lot of numbers that need to add up. If we add them all up, we're going to be able to fill in the spaces here. And therefore, here's how it goes. If you work it all out, the Yemei Olamoyed should be Midbar with 39 years. Arba'im Shana Chasar Achad. Now, obviously we know that because it was the second year. It says Beferish, Vayib Shana Hashani Hashanit, Bechosh Hashon, Hukam HaMishkan. That was actually this week is what we read, was that day. So that was already the second year. We know it was 40 years total in the Midbar. Give us 39 years. Yemei Ohel Moed Shebegilgal. We know that there were 14 years. We're going to see how we know later. There were 14 years in Gilgal. Sheva Kishikavshu. Those included the 7 war years and the 7 Chaluka years. Yemei Ohel Moed Shebenov Givon. The Ohel Moed between Nov and Givon together was 57 years, which means that Shiloh, even though we don't have an exact number of years, but it means that all we have left for the rest of history to work out, as we'll see, that leaves Shiloh close to 4 centuries. Shalosh Meos V'Shivim Chaser Achat. So 369 years were the days of Shiloh, and now I'm going to explain to you what information I have that allows me to fill in the missing space. Let's start with the Yemei Ohel Moed Shebemidbar. Okay, that's pretty easy. That's our Boim Chaser Achat. How do I know that? Well, Yomar Mar Shana Rishona Asa Moshe Tamishkan, and Shnia Hekim, that's all Psukim, B'Shana Hashanit, B'Chodesh HaRishon. Fair as you possible. And then he immediately says, okay, now we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and they start traveling, and they come, and they say, let's send Meraglim, he says Meraglim, and that destroys that. So then we have that it was Shalach Moshe Marai. Bigilgal. We know it's Arbaas Reshana. That is Sheva Shekivshu v'Sheva Shechilku. How do we know that? Minola. Dika Omar Kalev. Look, Kalev says like this. I was 40 years old. Ben Arbaim Shana Anochi. B'Shalach Moshe Eved Hashem Oti Mikadesh Barnea. This is Kalev when he gets up at the end of the wars. And he tells Yehoshua, besides his snide comment of, you seem to be feeling rather old, old man. And I can tell you, I feel as young as I did back in those days, and I'm only 85 and nobody knew. But besides the slight comment of Kizakanti, as we saw, he also tells Yehoshua that I was promised Chevron for myself. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said that I'm going to be getting that place and I want to collect. So this was after the wars. We know that that was 7 years after Knesset La'aretz. It's by simple using the numbers that Kalev provides. Because he says, look, I was 40 years old. That's why we mentioned the Meraglim a moment ago. Because Moshe sent the Meraglim in that same year of Hakamat HaMishkan. So he says, I was 40 years old when Moshe sent me, B'shloach Moshe Eved Hashem Oti, Mikadesh Barnea L'Ragel La'aretz, V'yashiv Oto Davar Kasher Im Levavi. And I brought back what I knew in my heart to be true, but which I hadn't openly shared in order to allow me that 1 minute of telling people the truth. And for that I was rewarded. Now, he continues on to say, and now I am today 85 years old. Now, how old was he when they crossed the Yarden? Siki Avri LeYarden Bar Kamahavi. How old was he? He was Bar Shivim Vitmani because he was only 78 years old when they crossed the Yarden. Because he says that I was 40 when I was sent by Moshe. Okay, so then that makes him at the actual crossing 78. Now, he's claiming to be 85. What happened during those 7 years? Obviously, those 7 years were the years of Kibush, which have now been completed, and now he wants to collect his Nachala. So that shows us that there were 7 years of Kibush. Harei Sheva Shekavshu. Now, okay, but that doesn't tell us that Sheva Chilku. I mean, how do you know that there were another 7 years of Chalukah, which was the time of Gilgal? The Sheva Shekavshu Minola. Well, first of all, I mean, it's an obvious svara, isn't it? Mide Sheva Shekavshu, Sheva Nami Shechilku. The Priskarov has a famous comment about this. This shows you that what they think is reasonable has nothing to do with what we think is reasonable. So, don't assume that something that is an obvious for it, that the Gemara is going to make any sense to you without the proper background as to what's going on. Because, boy, this, as Rashi says, this is far beyond, you know, it's just common sense. So in other words, we have the internal wars and the external wars. In other words, whatever it was taking to be Kena Eretz Yisrael away, which is the real double meaning of Yerusha, remember. This is very important. Achel Rash. There's two different words. There is to be Morish, the others, get rid of the others, make them poor. And then there's the taking for yourself to be Yoresh. They are almost interchangeable in the Chumash. But that's Sheva Shekivshu and Sheva Shechilku, isn't it? Uh-huh. So Yerusha takes.
First for a moment before it can be yours.
Right. So in other words, the changeover, the transition, is as long in the removal as it is in establishing your own sense of balut. So that means the transference of balut, taking away of balut, and the reconstruction of balut is basically the same process in the inverse. So you have deconstruction and construction. There's no way that those are going to be different. It's a sfora b'alma, that whatever elements were involved in that transition would have needed to be involved. Why, for whatever reason, it was so difficult. It was obviously far more difficult than it needed to be from the purely military point of view. We see through the entire Yoshua there was a psychological problem that continued on. Even at the end, it was up to this point we can take, we just can't take anymore. So whatever that problem was involved Richie's moaning every morning.
I guess peace now was...
Yeah, exactly. Well. There you go. Yeah. So it's taking us a lot longer than it took, you know, six days of war, and then, you know, the kibush. All right, so that's a svara. But, I mean, look, you know, if you don't like to rely on svaras that much, it's easy to work it out. It's obvious, isn't it? I mean, because how could you work out the pasuk in Yechezkel where it says, and it was in the 14th year after the city was destroyed, so this is the 14th year, after the Churban, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to me. Well, that only works out if there was 14 years between Kibush and Chiluk. There you go. Very clear. Amazingly, we're supposed to understand this. But this involves so many amazing issues that it's just incredible to see people talking to people who are meant to actually understand this. Look, it's obvious if you don't see that there were 7 years of Yerusha, then 5 centuries later, what am I talking about? 9 centuries later, right? No, it's after the Churban. It's 9 centuries later. 9 centuries later, the count isn't going to work out because it's going to be missing 7 years. Great. How did, that's beautiful, right? It's just beautiful. Plus, why is the count not going to work out? All it says is it was the 14th year. There are no other pieces over here. There's no other data that's offered. So what do you, 14 years from Hukta year could be any time. No, it can't be any time. You know why? Because Yechezkel said, on the 10th of Tishrei, the 10th of the first month, Rosh Hashanah. What? 10th of the month, Rosh Hashanah? How can the 10th of the month be Rosh Hashanah? He says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, B'Rosh Hashanah, Be'asor LaChodesh. I mean, that's absurd. But it's not absurd, is it? Because there's 1 year that indeed is Rosh Hashanah, Be'asor LaChodesh. And you blow the shofar, and you start the year, and that is Yovel. Okay. Which means, therefore, that this needed to imply that it was the 36th year of the Yovel cycle that was the year of the Churban.
36 Yovel.
Year of the Yovel.
Okay.
17 Yovelot altogether there were, because you add up the number of total years. And this is the Yovel 14 years after the Churban, which means that the Churban was in the 36th year, this is the 50th year, correct? Now the problem is that the Yovelot only began after Yerusha v'Yeshiva, from a diet from the post. The only possible way, given that we know the number of years from Yitziat Mitzrayim to the building of the Beit HaMikdash, that's a given that is given in the Pasuk. So we have 480 years. Now, 40 of those years were in the Midbar, and therefore they don't count towards counting Yovlot. Obviously, you don't count Yovlot before you come into Eretz Yisrael. Whatever number of years it took for Yerusha and Yeshiva don't count. We then have the remaining years from that, and the entire period of the Amidah of the Beit HaMikdash, which is also another given, 410 years, plus another 14 years, brings us to the year of Yovel. This is what Yechezkel is saying.
It has to be.
And that's why he says it, because that allows us to pinpoint the fact that there has to be another 7 years besides the Kivush until we started counting the Yovelot, because otherwise, 14 years after the years that we know of, if we only include the Kivush and assume that the Yerusha was immediately, then we're not going to arrive 14 years after the Churban. We are not going to arrive at a Yovel. We're going to be now 7 years ahead of ourselves. And therefore, something had to take up that 7 years. The only missing piece of information is how many years was the kibush, rather the chalukah, after the kibush. Clearly, that's where it was missing, because it had to be something before the beginning of the count of Yovelot. The only piece that we don't know about are those years. There you go. The missing 7 years were clearly the missing 7 years of Chalukah. So it's not only a svara, it's the only way to go, man. Omar Mar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, it's according to Rabbi Shimon, only Pesach and Chovot Shekavu Alem Zman were brought in Gilgal. My time of the Rabbi Shimon. Dichtiva ya'asu b'nei Yisrael et ha-Pesach ba-Gilgal, which is rather obvious. Elaka mashvelan, dechovot ke'in Pesach, and only ke'in Pesach u'dekarev, alav ke'in Pesach lo'karev. What about all the other shitot who hold that there were no limits on the tzibur? What do they do with Pesach Gilgal? Miboyelele dekerabi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan quoted Rabbi Banah, saying that an oral is clearly able to be Bekabel Hazza'a. From here, Tani Tanaka made the Rabbah Barava in Bein Bamagedola Lebamaketana, Ela Pesach, which is one category that doesn't have a parallel in the Yachid, and Chovot Shekavu Alehem Zman, which has a parallel in the Yachid, in the same Korbanot that do not have Kavu Alehem Zman rights, but have Nidav and Nidav rights. And therefore, he pointed out to the Tana, Rav Bar Ava, that Tagemat Nitecha only for Olat Chova, because it has the parallel. That's the whole point. There is a parallel in an Olat Nidavana Babat Yachid. But there is no available parallel for a Chatas, because, as Rashi's Girsa is, Chatat Nidava Mi'ika, or as our Girsa is, which is the other possible parallel, Di'i Chatat Yachid, who we have, sorry, Yichatat Yachid, and the contrast would be to the Chovot of a Kaviyah Zman that is not brought in a Bama Ketana. There are no Chatat Yachid of Chovot Shekaviyah Zman. They don't exist, Meika. So there's no possible contrast. Velukba Biminhat Chova, because you could have the equivalent of Chavitin in the Midbar to Minchat Nidava in the Bamat Yachid, just as well as the Ola, because Kasomer in Mincha b'Vamad all, so that doesn't count. Bo l'shilo minon emile. On Rav Chiya Bar Ava, on Rav Yochanan, look, Katuv Echad Omer calls it a bayit, v'tevihu beit Hashem shilo. Whereas the other pasuk refers to it as a mishkan, an ohel. V'yitosh mishkan shilo, ohel shikein ba'adam. V'yimas ohel Yosef, shevet Avraham lo bakar. How do you explain that? Must be that it was a half and half, a transitional phase between Mishkan and Beit HaMikdash. So lo haita shav tikra el avanim milamatan yiriyot milamalan, and it was the reference of Minucha in the Pasuk of Kilobata Barata, el haminucha vi el hanachala. And that brings out its transitional aspect. So that the Pasuk actually says, look, there's a impermanent sense of belonging somewhere, and that is where you don't have the roof, and then there's the permanence of the bayit. Remarkable psychological transition here. Only takes, you know, 5 centuries or so. Kotche kotche, but we're always in a rush. Minahani mili, umrevo shaya di amakro, hi shomer lecha pen ta'ale olotecha b'chol mekom asher tireh. Aha! But it implies that, but you can eat. How do you know that? It means you can eat. Maybe it means you can shecht. That for sure is impossible, because the very next pasuk says, Sham ta'ale v'sham ta'ase. Rav Vidimi bar Chama amar, Omar Kra Velo, which it doesn't say, but it does say Mizracha Ta'anat Shilo, Kol Haroel to Mit'anach, and that's the Losh of Ta'aniya V'aniya, Alachilat Kadashim Shalo, and that refers to a specific place that you can identify by visibility. Rabbi Abohu Amir Omar Kra Ben Porat Yosef Ben Porat Ale Ayin, Ayin Shalo Rat Stala Zun V'lehenot, Midavar Sheino Shala, Tiskeve Tochal Kimlo Eineha. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina amar, Uretzon shochnis senes sin'ah, Ayin shalor atzta lanot bidavar sheno shalo, Tiske v'tochal bein hasinuim. Do you understand that this implies so many incredible things? No.
I don't, the sinuim are Ephraim and Asher.
The brothers, all of the brothers around him, any shaven around him where you would be eating from.
Would,
it doesn't matter, but it's the re'iyah that's important. Theoretically speaking, wherever I am, let it be ben asnu'im. So what it implies, first of all, is that back in Mitzrayim, during the event of Yosef and the woman is central to the achievement over the snu'im, you see? because that becomes the permanent definition of the relationship of Yosef to the... It's not another story, just to contrast what happens to Yehuda with what happens to Yosef. It's part of the victory over the other Shvatim. Furthermore, it defines the relationship permanently as a relationship of Sina.
Oh, that is... Osnat also is the same of
Yehuda. Yes, very good. Excellent. Snat. Osnat. Excellent. Tana, ro'e she'amru is ro'e v'chol ha-ro'e v'lo ein davar mafsik, is what it should say. Kol ha-ro'e v'ein davar mafsik, v'lo levina. Omele v'shim ha-ben ha-yokim ha-relazer azber l'cha. It's like the beknishta de ma'on. Omer of Papa, ro'e she'amru does not require ri'at kula, even ro'e miktzata. Boy of Papa, when you say line of sight, is that like... Even if it's line of sight when you're standing but not sitting, or dafka, if it's line of sight from the surface, ve'eino ro'ev he biyoshev, what would be the din? This, of course, is major issues in terms of defining the moment of shkia, let's say, these questions. You're inside of a nachal, or you're on the Sfat HaNachal. You're on the 50th floor of a building or in the lobby of the building. When is shkia? That's a major issue, big bachlokas in the poskim. Whether you can go up from the lobby to the 50th floor to Dav Mincha because the sun hasn't set yet on the 50th floor. No, really. Ramosha Paskin said you can.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not. That's what the Gemara is asking over here. Is this a surface? And all of the charts, all of the good charts, will give you the difference between the Zmanim from the surface,
visible
Shkia, sea level. And that's also a question. What defines surface? Local surface. How much is local? Is how much elevation across what area would be considered to be your surface level? These are like serious questions. That's why in an airplane, this is why the Naval Observatory sheets are not really useful to take as the marker for Shkia and Zricha. Because they're always beyond, they're defined as a specific relationship to a given flat surfaced earth. So that's not what we're looking for necessarily. Anyway, but getting back to this, I don't know, we're supposed to be doing Chazor now. Mm. So my boy Rabbi Yirmi Omer, we did take him. Kiata Rabdimi Omer Rabbi Bishlosha Mikomot Sharta Shechina Yisrael Shilo Novegivan Beit Olamim Uvechulam Lo Sharta Lebechelek Binyamin Shema Chofef Alav Kalayom Koch Achifot Lo Yolo Bechelko Shal Binyamin Kiyoz Elabaya Omer Kamedu Rav Yosef Omer Kem Chad Bro Havilele My good friend Chaylel And Lo Mitkan What a shame. V'chtiv v'yitosh v'shkan shilo, v'chtiv v'yimas b'o Yosef, v'shevet Ephraim lo b'char, omravad n'so, ma'ika kashle, d'yoma, shchina b'chelek b'nyamin, and saneri gedola b'chelek Yosef. Nah, we find the same thing in Beit Olamim, shchina b'chelek Yosef, and saneri b'chelek Yehuda. Omalei, what? Och yashta. Over there, mekarvan. Over there, mekarvan over here, nachalotka b'yadadi. Yes, Achanami Mikarman. Kerem Rukhama Bar Rabbi Hanina, Ritzua Hayata Yotzeit Bichakosh Yehuda, Vinich Neset Bichakosh Binyamin, Uba Ayam Izbeach Banui, Vaya Binyamin Atzadik Mitzter Ala Lavol A. Achanami, Ritzua Hayata Yotzeit Bichakosh Yosef, Lichakosh Binyamin, Vahine Dichtiv Ta'anat Shilo. Same idea. Oy, ay, ay, what's that doing here? Kitanoi, Chofef Alav Zemigdash Rishon, Kol Hayom Zemigdash Sheni, Bein Ketat Fav Shachen Izimot HaMashiach, all referring to the Beit HaMikdash, none of it referring to Shiloh. Whereas Rabbi Omer, Chofei Falav Ze Olam HaZeh, including Shiloh B'Olam HaZeh, Kol Hayom Elo Yimot HaMashiach, Bein Ketat Fav Shachen, Ze HaOlam HaBa. Tanu Rabbanu, Yemei Oel Moed Sheba Midbar Arba Im Shana Chaser Achat. Yemei Oel Moed Sheba Gilgal Arba Esrei, Sheva Shekavshu, Sheva Shechilku. Yemei Oel Moed Sheba Novi Givon, Chamishim V'Sheva, which leaves us with only Nishtairu L'Shilu, Sholosh Meos V'Shivim Chaser Achat. Yemei Oel Moed Sheba Midbar Bam Chaser Achat, how do we know? Yomar Mar Shon Rishon Asa Moshe Tamishankan, Shnia Ukam Mishkan Shalach Moshe Meraglim, Begilgal Arbasre, Sheva Shekav Sheva Shechilko, Minolan, Dekar Makalev, Ben Arbaim Shana Anochi, Bishlog Moshe Evad Hashem Oti, Mikodesh Barneel Ragelat Aretz, Vashiva Todavar Kashem Levavi, Ochtiv, Vatayne Anochi Yom, Ben Chamesh Shmonim Shana. But how is that? Ki Avril Yardin Bar Kama Havi Bashim Vetmani. and yet he's claiming to be 85. So clearly it took 7 years after the crossing of the Yarden to get to the moment in which he could claim Hebron for his own. Now, how do we know Sheva Shechilku? Minalan? Well, first of all, it could be a simple svar. Mina Sheva Kivshu, Sheva Chilku. Viboy Tema, Mina Lo Mashkachat La, Be'arbasre Shana, Achare Shirukta Ha'ir, that could possibly be Barosh Hashanah, Besar Lachodesh.
The following is the doubt from the previous of Yom Yisrael.
So, Freil Chaner of Yom Kippur Tov. So here we are in Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph at the Tzudats of Yom Kippur Tov Shin Samar Zalat. Neseches Zvokha. Wow is right.
That's a year after
Yisrael. Omar Mar, Rabbi Shimon Eimer. So Rabbi Shimon, you will recall, had the most limited view of what it is that the Tzibur can do. And he said that even a tzibur can only be makriv sochim v'cheves hakavu alehem zman. Why does he say that? My time is Rabbi Shimon. The fiv vayasu b'nei Yisrael es ha-pesach ba-gilgal. What in the world is the chiddush of vayasu es ha-pesach ba-gilgal? Obviously, we need to know like that they'd become mitzvahs. I mean, that was the place where the mizbeach was, so obviously that's where you brought the korban pesach. Hello, wow. Must be that the Pesach is coming to tell me, Uncle Marshmallow. The Chavez Ke'en Pesach, who the Kore. They're saying, oh, Pesach, you could be marked in Gilgal. Meaning that that's included in the set of Korbanos that Gilgal is suitable for. So, okay, what is the similarity? Chavez Ke'en Pesach, who the Kore. Those things are similar to Pesach. And they have Kavuah Lehem Zman. Like a Pesach is. But if they're not Kavua Zman, Halavka in Pesach, they're not similar to Pesach. The Pesach being used clearly in the Pesach as a model to tell us what type of Korbanos could be brought in Gilgal. And if it's not in HaPesach, then Lo Korav, you cannot bring that Korban on the Bama Gedela in Gilgal, because it wasn't a real mishkan. So how about all the other Chachamim will argue, and they say that the Tzibur is allowed to bring the Korbanos the same way they brought in the Ohel Moed. According to some, even a Yachid can bring Korbanos the way he brought in the Ohel Moed. What do they do with the Pesach? Miboy Leilek Karabi Yochanan. They say the Pesach has nothing to do with serving as a model for types of Korbanos. It's coming to tell me something unique about that year and that Korban Pesach. Because consider, they came in to Eretz Yisrael. Most of the people born in the Midbar were most of them, because all those born in the Midbar were Arelim, because it said they weren't Ma in the Midbar because they were on the road. And as a matter of fact, the name Gilgal comes from the Arelis. And Hayom Gilgal, Hashem is Mechapat Mitzrayim Me'alechem. Mechapat Mitzrayim, they were all Arelim. So they were all Mal in Givat Arelot in Gilgal. Now, the problem is that they came over the Yarden on the 10th day of Nisan, which is the first day that they would be able to be Mal. You're not Mal right away. And because on that day there's the whole chulsha of travel and so on. So it means that they were mal on the 13th. They were mal on the 13th, and if they were only able to become tohar from mace, remember that they were all tamei mason because their relatives were all dying. Is it not allowed to be mal that they didn't travel? So that means that the too much mace that was on them. In the period of the Midbar, all of them had to bury their parents, basically, or their fathers, at least, in the Midbar. So now, they're coming in, they need to get the Paradum sprinkled on them. If an Orel is unable to get Hazayah, then they're in big trouble, because they only became un-Oreled on the 11th. And they could only get their first Hazoya on the 11th. But it takes 7 days to complete the process of the Hazoya, which means that by Pesach, they would not have been Zohar. And yet it says over here, Vayasu and Aethos a Pesach called Gilgal, which is Mashma, standard Pesach, nothing special. They made the Pesach in Gilgal. I mean, what do you expect? Why is there a problem? Aha! So clearly, they could have been Mituharim from Tumas Meis before. So that shows you that an Oral, even though we compare an Oral to the Meis, it's called a Parashim, an Oral to a Parashim, not Kever, and you might have thought that that's Ma'akev, the Zrika, of the Hazoya rather, the Korah Duma. Kamash Malan, says Rabbi Yochanan, from here, Oral Mikabel Hazoya. It's clear that an Oral can be Mekabel the Hazoya of the Korah Duma, and that's why it says they made it standard Korban Pesach. Toni Tana Kamedu Reb Ada Bar Ahaba. Now, a Tana stated over the halacha that we had over here by Rabbi Shimon slightly differently. What he said to him was like this, that Ein Bein Bama Gedela L'Bama Kitana Ela Pesach V'Chovot HaKavu Alehem Zman. The difference between, what we saw before was the difference between Ohel Moed Shebamidbar and the Bama Gedela. What he says is what? The only difference between what you can be Makav on a Bama Gedela and what you can be Makav on a Bama Ketana, use the same words, Pesach, and a Cheves HaKavu Alehem Zman. Now, clearly, this, I mean, there's something very strange about this, because it means that on the Bama Gedela, there was something that you could bring that you can't bring on the Bama Ketana, and this is the only thing. Now, that's fine if it's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. See, there's a, you'll notice that the Yirtza in the Sfarim Acherim is Omar Leid, Yomlech HaMoni, Rabbi Shimon. Who is the one who said that to you? It's got to be Rabbi Shimon, because if you're telling me that this is the difference, I mean, otherwise, it's a tremendous difference. What do you mean? I mean, if you hold, like the Shitas who say that a Yochid can be marked, like with Yehuda, so, I mean, what do you mean? All the Kabbalists are the difference. If you hold, like the Chachamim, who say a Tzibur can be marked of anything, and a Yochid can't be marked of anything, you still have all of the Kabbalists, not Kavu Alehem Zman. Well, what about the Kabbalists that the Tzibur brings stam? When something happens, you could also bring. You could bring a part of Dovrishal Seaforce. You have a Shechotim. I mean, why not? So therefore, it's got to be Rabbi Shimon. And if that's the case, because he said, Ein Bein Bama Gedola Bama Ketana Ela Pesach V'chov V'sek V'u Elohim Zman. And if that's the case, T'targim Mat Nitcha V'olat Chova D'Ika Olat Nidava. You've got to understand that what you said is not strictly speaking correct. Because look, you have to consider what is the point of saying the two things, Safim and Chayve Shekavu Alehem Zman. Is Pesach a Chayve Shekavu Alehem Zman? Fine, so just say, Ela Chayve Shekavu Alehem Zman. I don't understand. That would include the Korban Pesach and anything else, and that those are the things that you can bring. And then you just confuse me when you say Pesach v'chovot HaKavu Alehem Zman, right? So clearly, the meaning of chovos HaKavu Alehem Zman cannot be and all chovos HaKavu Alehem Zman, because then it would have included Pesachim. There's got to be two sets of items that are mentioned over here. Well, the thing is, we've been talking about Pesach. It's a very good point, but as Rashi points out earlier, about earlier, the truth is that when we talk about the Pesach, even though it's a Korban Yochid, you'll notice that here we keep calling it a Korban Sibur. And that's because, points out Rashi, Gemara always does that, because it's Asi B'Knufia. It has to come together as a group. Therefore, it's included under the entire umbrella of Karbanas Tzibur. But the point of here is that if Chovos HaKavu Alehem Zman means any and all Chovos HaKavu Alehem Zman, including things which Bechalal wouldn't be brought on a Bamas Tzibur. Okay, so then you don't have to say Psachim. Since it says Psachim, obviously that is another set. So therefore we're saying this. Those things which are like Psalchim, there are certain things that are not Karev on Abama, Gitana, at all. Such as a Karban Chatas, a Karban Arshan, a Karban Pesach. Now, of that group that isn't brought on Abama, Gitana, at all, now, I don't want to tell you Ein Bein Bama Gitana, Labama Gidela, unless we're talking at least about the set of things that are brought on a Bama Gedela, on a Ketana, and I could say which types of them are brought on the Bama Gedela that wouldn't be brought on the Bama Ketana. Fine, there's another set of things that's B'chlal not brought on a Bama Ketana, like Psachim. So now, therefore, I want to say, look, there's two things. There's Psachim, meaning those things which B'chlal not brought on a Bama Ketana. Okay, there are those things that are brought in the Bama Gedola. Of them, the only thing is Psachim. Of all that remains, that's the way to do it. No more these paper cups. Let me talk.
Show stop.
I'll bring ready.
Of those things that are brought both on a Bama Gedola and on a Bama Ketana, namely Eloys and Shlomim, those things, let me tell you that there is a difference between the type of those things that are brought on a Bama Gedola and the type of those things that are brought on a Bama Ketana. What is the difference? The things that are Kavua and Zman cannot be brought on a Bama Ketana, they're brought on a Bama Gedola. Which means that if you're going to bring the Tamid or the Mutaf, you're going to have to bring it on the Bama Gedola, which is fine, makes a great deal of sense, it's Kavua and Shibur and so on. But what it also implies is that a carbon chatas, even though it's part of the chiyav of the musaf, this is a sawyer to bring for the musaf. You don't bring that. Because otherwise, I would have simply said, in a Bama Gedela, you bring those things that are kavua l'zman, period. I'm not an idiot, I know what that means. That means the carbon tummy, the, along with its chatas, and the Yom HaKippurim, I bring this sayer and the par. On Pesach, I bring the carbon Pesach. I mean, what do I got to talk about? Two separate categories, you see. So therefore, Tainas now, and this changes, I mentioned yesterday, we're going to end up saying that this actually means not chataot or hashamot at all. This is where that comes from, because what he's saying is that the only distinctions that make sense to talk about when you're talking about Kavula and Zman are the distinctions between those things generally that are brought on both places. And now let me tell you, nonetheless, there's a difference. Which type of Eilus can you bring in a Bama Ketana? Which type of Eilus can you bring in a Bama Gedela? But to talk to you about something which is B'chlal not brought on a Bama Ketana, I wouldn't say, and what types can be brought on a Bama Gedela? There's no types. There's no types at all. That comes under the other heading of Psachim. And what I'm trying to tell you, because Psachim aren't brought at all in a Bama Ketana, so what I'm trying to tell you is, look, of the set of Karbanot that are not brought at all on a Bama Ketana, there's only one that's brought on a Bama Ketana, Psachim. Now let's take a look at the other set. The set of Karbanot that are brought both on a Bama Ketana and a Bama Ketana. What's the difference in that set between the Bama Ketana and Bama Ketana? Chodesh HaKavua L'Zman. Okay, where does Chatas and Asham fit? In the first set or the second set? In the first set, because they're not brought in a Bama Ketana at all, as we've already proved. You could only bring Yesharot, which means that those things Rabbi Shimon never said you could bring on a Bama Gedola. When he said Chovot HaKavua L'Zman, he meant for you to be intelligent enough to understand of the set of things that are brought in both places, the Chovot HaKavua L'Zman. But of the other set, which is represented by its only member, namely Psachim, the only thing that is brought on the Bama Gedola is Psachim. Anything that is not brought on a Bama Ketana is not brought on a Bama Gedola. That's what Rabbi Shimon holds. There's only one example of something brought on a Bama Gedola. And in fact, as our president has kindly pointed out, that's because Psachim is indeed unique. Psachim is essentially each individual is bringing his carbon cards, except it has to be in the place where everything is brought. Right. Okay, so that's brought indeed on a Bama Gedola. But the chayvos of a tzibur cannot be brought even on a Bama Gedola, according to Rabbi Shimon, unless they are the equivalent of the yachid's carbon on his Bama Ketana, his ayla. That can be brought on a Bama Gedola. I'll say, what about Shlomim? And why don't we talk about Kibsei Atzeres? That would be a difference, right? Because Shlomim are brought on a Bama Gedola, on a Bava Katana, and are brought on a Bama Gedola. So we should say, Ela, Erlois, Ve, Shlomim, meaning Kibsei Atzeres. Explains Rashi, Kibsei Atzeres is not part of the set at all. Because the fact that we can call it Zipsei Shalmei Tzibur does not make it part of the same set of Shlomim, because the Shlomim of a Yochid is Kachin Kalim, and Zipchei Shalmei Tzibur is Kachin Kachin, has totally different dinim in terms of where it can be shechted, who is allowed to eat it. It's ridiculous to say, just because they're both called Shlomim, that we should then say, and these are the korbanos that are brought both on a Bama Ketana and a Bama Gedola, therefore let me talk about the Zipchei Shalmei Tzibur. No! Indeed, Zipchei Shalmei Tzibur is not part of the second set, it's part of the Tzachim set, and it is not brought on the Bama Gedola. Now, how about, I mean, there is another case, Bechora, the other case, which is brought on a Bama Ketana, which we could talk about, whether it has a Kavuel and Zman and a Bama Gedola, is the Mincha. There's Chavitim that are brought on a Bama Gedola. That's a Chiyav. The Kohen Gadol has to bring a Mincha. So that's a Kavuel and Zman. So, I mean, you know, and there's all the Menachos. Why don't we talk about that? So, Mincha, what's the difference between the type of carbon that's brought both on a Bama Gedola and a Bama Ketana, which includes Erlois and Menachos? The difference is that on the Bama Gedola, you bring the Minchas Chavitim and the Kohen Gadol, or whatever. We talk about the whatever. Let's say our Kavuel and Zman, or the Minchas Kavuel and Zman. Why do we leave that out? These are the questions now that the Gemara is going to discuss. So let's take a look once again and see all of this inside. Omale titargem matitcha ba'olat chova, di'ika olat nedava. What you've got to be talking about, my dear sir, according to Rabbi Shimon like this, is to contrast the only type of korban which could be brought in either place, on a Bama Gedola or a Bama Ketana. Tell me the difference between them. Well, there's only one korban that could be brought in either place, an Erlois. That has an example of the way it would be brought on a Bama Gedola that's impossible to throw on a Bama Ketana, namely, the Erlois Tami. The Erlois Tami. An Erlois is brought on a Bama Ketana, but not the Erlois Tami. The Erlois Tami is brought as a Chayvach of Ulam Zman on the Bama Gedola. Because Echata, so we're going to tell me that what? That Echata's Yochid, what would that be referring to? Chovas the Kavuel and Zman Yika. I mean, there's no equivalent case. Where is there a korban that's kavuel and zman? That we would say that we could have this type of korban is brought on a Bama Ketana, and where it's kavuel and zman, it's brought on a Bama Gedola. It's not brought on a Bama Ketana at all. So that's not included. The Pesach is the only example of that. So, v'lukba v'minchas cheva, why can't we say a mincha? A mincha is brought on a Bama Ketana, and a minchas cheva that's brought, which we have the Chavitim, so Chavitim is also brought on the Bama Gedola. They're fantastic. So that would be another case. Why do you say only Erlois? It's very simple. Because of a Mincha Bavarma. Because Ravada was telling him, Ravada Baava was saying, you better make sure you understand what you're saying. Don't be simplistic about it. His opinion was, like the Man Yomo says, there was no Mincha and Bavarma, which we learned out from Zvachim. Asher v'penei atzadeh. Zvachim, meaning only something that's slaughtered, not something that isn't slaughtered. No vegetable korban bichlal was brought on a Bama. In which case, we're not going to contrast. The mincha, the difference in the mincha is that in the mincha on the Bama Ketana is only where it's not kavuel and zman, and the mincha on the Bama Ketana is with the chavitim. Excuse me, but there was no mincha on the Bama Ketana. But in a chinami, if you held like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon held that way, then Rabbi Barabba would have said, chutz bi'elu mincha. And that would have been the difference. It would have been the difference between the Chavitim and the regular mincha. But there's no such thing. Now, the next thing we said was, Bo, the Shiloi, they came to Shiloi and the Kachi Kalim was eaten before Araya, the Kachi Kachim was eaten only inside the Kaloyim, and says the Mishnah, Shiloh was a hybrid. It had walls of stone, but it had a ceiling that was made out of the Urias HaMishkan. Now, how do we know that Shiloh is a hybrid, that it was a transitional stage between the conception called Mishkan and the final Nachala of Eretz Yisrael, which is the Bayis, and it was a biased ohel, so to speak. How do we know that? We know the meaning. Omre Priya Barava, Omre Yochanan. It's very simple, because, look, Katuv Echad Omer, Vatevyehu Beit Hashem Shiloh. Now, does that clearly say to you that Shiloh is a bayit? The correct here to hear is Alma Bayit. If it says Beit Hashem Shiloh, then that means it is a bayit. The problem is that Katuv Echad Omer is another pasuk that says, Vayitosh Mishkan Shiloh, Alma Ohelhu. So if you're calling it a Mishkan, and that means that it's an Ohel. Indeed, the pasuk continues, Ohel Shikain Ba'adam. So that means, okay, is that it should say? How then do we explain the contradiction of pasuk? Milameh Shelo Haita Sham Tikra. Clearly, it was built like a bayit, but had no roof. Ela Avani Milamata, Mirios Milamala. And that's the Mishnah continuing on to say, Yaita Minucha. Kochi Kalamar eaten b'chol haraya is now what it should say, mino animil. How do we know that Kochi Kalamar eaten b'chol haraya? Amr of Asia. The Omar Kra, he shamer lecha pen ta'ale olotecha b'chol makom asher tir'eh. Notice that the Pasuk warns against being male olot. Don't bring a korban ola wherever you can see. Now that means even if you're within range of seeing the Mishkan, you can't bring an oila there. Ah. Why does it only talk about you can't bring an oila? You could say you can't eat either. You can't do anything. It's not in the Mechitza. You want to tell me that you require Mechitza? So tell me. All of the dinner that require Mechitza, including Akilas Kachim Kalim. So you see from here that Bechom Makom Asher Tireh Yata Maaleh Avlat Ochel Makom Asher Taroeh. It says you can't bring the carbon insofar as you can see it, but you can eat the carbon insofar as you can see it. How do you know it means that? Maybe it means ema b'choma koma shataro erata mala. You can't bring the carbon as far as you can see it. Avlata zaveh b'choma kom shatira. Maybe it means you can check a carbon anywhere in range of visible shiloh, and then you bring it into the Mishkan Shiva. But it doesn't mean you can eat outside. Once you bring it in, I mean, you do the rest of it inside. It means bring Matir Shchita outside. Maybe that's the pshat. That can't be the pshat, because the pasuk continues to say, Shom Ta'ale V'Shom Ta'aseh, which means that the Asiyah, all the Asiyot, including the Shchita, the Avodah, is the same as the Aliyah of the carbon itself. So the only thing that must be merumas to over here, by implication, that is able to be done b'chol makom asher tir'eh, is actually achila. Because otherwise the idea of asher tir'eh is, what do you mean b'chol makom asher tir'eh? What does that have to do with asher tir'eh? B'chol makom, ki'im el ha-makom. I mean, what does that have to do with seeing something? So you see clearly the Torah is being mechadish and nu halach, that there is, in fact, a notion of seeing. And by the way, we know we do have this kavua, lehalacha, today.
Purim.
The din of Purim, which was mevutas on the kavod of the machana in Eretz Yisrael, batei orei chayma, is a din as long as you can see, and that very much has to do with all this. That was Mordechai Yish Yudi. We'll see the connection to Binyamin and all of this, even Mishkan Shiloh, which was Yosef. There is something about seeing that has to do with the transitional period. The word Purim was the transitional period. And there's the second base of English, the transitional period itself. So that element of transition seems to have to do with vision. Something that you can see from far off, even though you're not actually there. So it's a different concept of machane, which is menucha, but not yet nachala.
Seeing the
chumot? Seeing the... there's actually some discussion, and you have to actually see the bias of Shiloh. Or whether it's any part of Shiloh that would be sufficient. By the way, there's another place which is Nagia Loka Lamaitha now, every day, which we'll see in some of them, which is brought already by the Acharonim, how it would be Nagia today. Rabbi Abedini Bar Chasa Omar Kroh Now, the problem is the Gemara keeps bringing this pasuk, but this pasuk doesn't exist. There's nowhere in Tanakh that it says velo ta'anat shilo. As Rashi points out, look, I looked all over. I mean, there is, simply is no such pasuk. However, the Gemara often does this. And I believe that that it was Reb Reuven Margolius who suggested a simple solution for why the Gemara always does this. Because you're not allowed to write three words of a pasuk without sirtut. And so they would always make a small change in the pasuk so that even if people, first of all, also not let's say Baal Peh, so they would make a small change in order that you shouldn't be learning Torah Shebiksav Baal Peh. And if you're writing down the sugi, you shouldn't write it without sirtut. This used to be a tremendous problem with the women who were bekiyot in Tanakh. And they would always know the psukim correctly. The men who only knew Tanakh from reading the Gemara all the time would invent these psukim. And it's interesting that by Reb Isser Zalman Meltzer, who was my uncle, his wife was an immense bekiya in Tanakh, Baal Peh. It's interesting, the whole family, my great grandmother also, I'd learned Tanakh with her. She was completely blind. And if I ever made a mistake in anything, she would immediately correct me as a child. I would be reading from the Sefer, and she would jump on me. What's the matter with you? You can't read. She knew the entire Tanakh Baal Peh. I mean, literally every single word. So, and when he would learn Reb Isser Zalman, she would hear it with the Chavrusa. And it's his daughter told me, we used to eat there all the time with them. So she would always scream from the next room the correct portion of the pasuk. Yeah. And he would say, but it says in the Gemara, so talk to the Gemara. And look at the Tanakh. So in any event, the correct pasuk is Mizracha Ata'anat Shilo. It's talking about over there the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael, instead of referring to a place called Shilo, it was called Ta'anat Shilo. And Ta'anat Shilo is a lotion of Ta'aniya Va'aniya, as we see in Megillas Eicha. It means mourning, groaning, being upset. So what was something that was always Nogea, the whole concept of Shilo should be Ta'anat. Makom shekol haro'elto mit'aneach alav, alakilak kodashim shalo. It's looking at that place immediately triggered the memories to people of what it was that was unique, and it was the looking that was unique. And Mamela was always referred to as a place of, that had in it all of this potential for mourning. Rabbi Avraham.
So what was the mourning?
That when Shiva was destroyed, there would be no longer that's Karchim. This was written before, obviously, but it means that it was a mokum in which the seeing of a thing would bring back memories. It was a very much re-oriented mokum.
It's the same as you were trying.
Certain elements, like Harat Sofim, that we call Sofer, right? That's where the brachas are kavua and the churban is given from Agil at Sofim. That's also the seeing Yerushalayim. Okay, but there's not so much of a, you don't remember the place where you're standing is being unique just because you could see Yerushalayim from it. Whereas over here,
you couldn't
touch him anyway. You didn't have the same sense of Kedusha. Not in Yerushalayim. I'm seeing Yerushalayim from the distance. Over here, as soon as you could see Shiloh, you sense the loss. Because really, I'm there now. I would have been there. So that means it had in it elements of Re'ia that already were sad.
Isn't that the sound that this was still able to smell the terrace for centuries after it was also?
What?
Shiloh?
Smell
the terrace.
Not familiar. Okay. Will be Abu Omar? Omar Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Ale Ayin. What does that mean? It means the Ayin. Now, Porat is always a lotion of Pirayon, increase. Reproduction is the simplest meaning of the lashon, and that's Yosef's bracha. But pirayon also means general broadening. So that means that Yosef was given a bracha pirayon in terms of how far you could eat in his mishkan, how far you would be allowed to eat kachim kal. In other words, how far did the kedusha of the mishkan extend? So it extended the pirayon How far was the Pirayon Aleyayin, which is as far as you could see? Why? Because since he was Aleyayin, since he didn't allow his eye to draw him to Avera, so he was an Ayin Shalorat Talazun, V'lehenot Midavar She'eno Shalom, his eye wasn't a drive to take what didn't belong to him and wasn't meant for him. Therefore, tisker v'tochal kimalo eineha, that eye should be allowed to have anything that would be its own. So normally the mechitzot are required, as all mechitzot are, to protect your eye, so to speak. This is the boundary, and you can't go over that boundary. It is now a very contemporary word, boundaries, in terms of relations and so on. And that's exactly what the main idea of a mechitzah is. They finally discovered mechitzahs in the world from that amazing thing. Seriously, it's like the last 10, 20 years now, boundaries is a big issue. So here, Yosef, whose eye is sensitive to boundaries, doesn't require artificial mechitzas. So his eye itself is the boundary, in which case he can be Eichel B'chol HaRoeh. Amazing, amazing. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Amen. Notice that in Yosef's bracha it says, Ritzon Shochni Sneh. What's the pshat? I mean, we know that Son Shachni Sneh is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which Shochet in the Sneh, and he gave this broth to Yosef, but it means that there is a Rotzayim, which has to do with being Meratzah, Stam, has to do with Kachin, but has to do with pure willpower. Shochen is Mishkan. Sneh is a double meaning, because it means people who hate you. And that's Sinai. Shiyarda Sinai, L'umay, Seged Yisrael. So Ritzon Shachni Sneh means Ayin shalorat stala not midavar she'eino shelo, tizkeh v'tochal bein hasnu'im. Even as long as you could see Shiloh, even if you were in one of the other nachalos of a different chamber, they hated Yosef. But because they can see him even, they can eat kachim kalim because they can see Yosef. So that means you can eat among his enemies, the other shvatim, because of the ratzayim. That was his. That is, he didn't want to be nene. From a davar shene shelo, tizkeh v'tochal bein hatznu'im, eat it among the other shvatim as well, even if it wasn't within the boundary of Yosef, which is amazing. It's not simply the mechitzas of the Mishkan, but even the mechitzas of Yosef itself was purut, so to speak, and was nogeh the other shvatim as well. Tana, ro'eh she'amru, when we talk about ro'eh, we don't mean ro'eh, theoretically ro'eh. Meaning that if there wouldn't be something in the way that I would be able to see it. It means I do see it. Not, well, we could remove this wall and this is still in range. So I do see it. Amalei Rebbe Shimon on the Upner of Allah, that Rashi's years of years, Asbarali, explained, give me an example of what you mean. The Beknishta Demon. The Beit HaKnesset in Ma'on, you can see Shiloh directly from it. Says Rashi, are you familiar with this? Our tour guides?
No, I was in Ma'on.
You've never been in the Beit HaKnesset of Ma'on?
Well, they have.
You have.
Yeah,
obviously, a different Ma'on.
I can't think of a shade that they can see into Shiloh where it is.
Well, that's because you don't know the Gvulas, as you'll see. Amar Papa. Ro'eh sha'amru, lo ro'eh kulo, elo ro'eh miktato. By the way, says Rapapa, it says you see it. It doesn't mean you need to see the entire Shiloh. You see some of it, and that's sufficient. Boy, Rapapa, what isn't clear to me, says Rapapa, suppose you're omeid v'ro'eh, and you're yoshev v'teino ro'eh. So now, there's a number of different ways.
Sure.
Now that's funny, because in
Ali,
we have
a exactly. Right. So there's a number of different ways of learning this. Topographical problem. So the Shaila, first of all, is that considered to be Raya Bichlal? Is one way of understanding the question. It's Fasem Espring, yeah. In other words, is it considered to be Raya if you need to stand in order to be Raya? Secondly, if Lamaith is considered to be, maybe you need to be actually seeing at the time that you're eating. So even if it's considered a Malkum of Raya, you can't sit and eat. You'd have to actually stand and eat. Two different approaches to the question. Others have yet a third approach. But here, by the way, is where it's Nagea Lafalamaisa. Because we have a din of Raya. today. Where's the din of raya today? If somebody made a bracha, and he moves. Now, a shinui makom is considered to be a shinui for the bracha. You have to make a new bracha when you come to a new place. But it says if you still see the place you made the original bracha, you started the achira, it's not considered to be a new place. Now, all of these abayas, sign of the achronim, would be nogeya that question. What is raya called? Suppose I could stand up and I could be raya. Exactly. So all of these questions, raya mikitsatsa, raya. Very interesting. So it's Ramesh brought la halacha.
He's working
in the Yeah, I was. No, right, that's right.
The seventh bracha says, well, you can move from where you were eating to the front of, sit in front of the fasting tower and make brachas. So you can still see where you were eating.
That's the heter.
That's the heter.
Okay, there you go. No, that's not yeah, the room. That's a different issue.
Okay.
Unfortunately. Unfortunately. To be mitzurah to the minion.
So if you
can
see the
to the minion is a din in makom as well. So that room has to be bought up to the other room. That's where the entrance is. If you go through one room into the other room, so. Oh, I was right. There's a lot of problems about that issue.
He says that Ma'on, the Steinzel, is very.
That's not the Ma'on that you know.
Right. The Ma'on we know is in the south.
Yeah.
In Bayuda, I guess.
Three Ma'ons.
Let's stop moving.
But I never heard of Ma'on near it's very. Let me know where he's from.
No. Where's Kibbutz Ma'on?
In
the Negev, right? Kibbutz Ma'on is in the Negev or by Tveria? I don't think it's in the Negev.
No, that's Kibbutz Ha'on.
No. Kibbutz Ha'on is on the Kinneret. Come on, I'm not that clear. Kibbutz Ma'on. We trigger a 5-minute touring discussion and we'll get back there.
And the
old
children.
Good. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, Avad Omeid Al Gabe Anacha V'Ro'eh, V'Toch Anacha V'Eino Ro'eh. What about the din of if you have like a wadi? What would be? Actually, here we go again. We're gonna have another discussion. I don't know the Nachash Shiloh.
All the time, when you run into the Shiloh, you probably was from Ibn Ezra.
So you've been in Avos Shiloh? No. Okay. Anyway, all right. So you're basically that's the way they ask the question. Kiyotzer Dimi Omar Rebbe. He's very interesting. This has to do with why I said you're obviously not a bookie in the Gulais from this. Omar, Kiyotzer Dimi Omar. I'll take out the Rebbe. Bishleisha Mekeme Shorter Shchina Yisrael. B'Shiloh, the Novi Givon, Beit Olamim. There's three places where we find Hashras Hashkina. U'Bekula Noshars HaLebechelek Binyamin. And amazingly, in all three places, the actual Hashras Hashkina was only in Shevet Binyamin, which of course the Gemara will ask momentarily, as something is very funny about that. And Shenema Chofef Alav Kol Hayom. This is in the Brok of Binyamin. Kol chafifot lo yel b'chelko shel Binyamin. Any closeness in which there's an actual contact with God, chofef, is only in Binyamin. Ki odel Abaye. So Abaye, when he came, he said it over this mimer of Rav Dimi. He said it over to Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, do I feel bad for your dad? He had b'sach hakol one kid who's an idiot. Omar Chad Bra Havilei LaChayil. Right, apparently Chayil was the name of Abayan's father. Well, Omitkan, he never worked out. How in the world do you say he was only in Binyamin? If one of the three places was Shiloh, it's Shiloh, but you got to be crazy to say Shiloh's in Binyamin. Lots of his various projects. Vayitosh Mishkan Shiloh, Vayin Atz Ba'ol Yosef. Ubeshevet Ephraim, Lo Bachar. I mean, it's all Yosef, not Binyamin.
There's a Ritzua.
Huh? Omar Rav Ada Bar Masna, Maita Kashule, what's bothering Rav Yosef? I mean, other than the fact, of course, he's sticking up for his own. Maita Kashule, what's bothering him so much? Dilma Shchina Bechelet Binyamin, the Sanhedrin Gedela Bechelet Yosef. Maybe the Pshat of Mishkan Shiloh is that the Hashroas Hashchina indeed was in the Chelek of Binyamin, whereas the rest, just like in the Beis Hamikdash, was also built like that. That the Sanhedrin Gedela was indeed in the Chelek of Yosef, because the Basil of Beit Olamim, even in the Beis Hamikdash, the Shchina was Bechelek of Yosef and the Sanhedrin was Bechelek Yehuda. Or Malay. So he said, well, what are you talking about? Man, how do you have to please? We're comparing the situation with Yehuda and Binyamin, with the two Nachalot are up once against the other. I mean, understand that you have indeed a border that goes through the Makom HaMikdash. Well, how the heck could you have a border going through Shiloh? Doesn't make any sense. Hatzom Mikarva Nachalot Gavei Adadi. Hatzom Mi Mikarva. Answers the Gemara, yes. Hakinami Mikarva. In the same way that Reb Chama bar Reb Chanina said that Ritzu'ah haita yotzeit b'chalkosha Yehuda v'nechnat b'chalkosha Binyamin u'ba haya mizbeach banui v'haya Binyamin ha-tzadik mitzta'er alea kol hayom levol'ah, that's the chofef alav kol hayom that we had earlier, hochi nami Ritzu'ah haita yotzeit b'chalkosha Yosef l'chalkosha Binyamin. The real meaning of Ta'anat Shiloh in the list of the Gvulot is because Binyamin was upset about Shiloh. In the same way that he was upset about the piece of the Mizbeach that Yehuda had been, was in the Chelek of Yehuda that he hadn't succeeded. So Binyamin seeks always to absorb the Mekaymas where the Shechina appears. So there it's Chofei Palav. Over here it's Ta'anat Shiloh. But there's always some, now obviously, this is Binyamin who fits like a puzzle in being Mechaber Yosef to Yehuda. So Ritzua goes into Yehuda, Ritzua goes into and Yosef, and pulls them together, which is always the function of Binyamin. In other words, the way that Yehuda and Yosef got back together again was through Binyamin, which Yosef understood. He knew that dragging Binyamin down would be the only way to get Yehuda to be Meister Nefesh for Yaakov through Binyamin, and that that would connect him to Yosef. That became now the historical definition of the actual Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael that expressed the ideas of Yosef Binyamin and Yehuda throughout the centuries.
That's very cool.
Cool.
And it's homiletic, but how did it really work?
No, it's not homiletic.
It shut it up?
There's a beautiful Malbim that actually traces in the other psukim about he goes through the whole pasuk about Yiftach's daughter with the where the holidays were. And it talks about the Mesila Ha'olah Beit El. There was obviously some Mesila. Remember that Mesila is somehow very strange. Mark is bringing it up. The pasuk talks about as if it's important that there's a road that goes up. There was clearly a place that was known to be the Mesila that was in fact the connecting area between Shiloh and Yehuda. It's wild. And Yisrael were very aware of this, and all of those inyanims that were taking place by Mishpachas Yair and so on had to do with that thing. We know that because that's where they were. That's where there was the question of the holiday that they would make.
Yamim,
you know, Miyamim Yamima, that had to do with Shiloh, the Mesila that's Ola Beis El, which always seems to be the Gea, the holiday Bichlal, the beautiful Malbim on the Pasuk of Ta'anat Shiloh. On this thing. So, I mean, you know, there's definitely some that was the Mecholot, Bakramim, the Mecholot were there. That's where Binyamin was able to get out and grab the girls. Had to do with that whole piece, too, which was part of
that's
the Churban.
Yes,
and that has to do with Tuba'av and Yom Kippur and the connection between them. I mean, it's wild. This is like heavy duty primal stuff for Klal Yisrael. That expresses itself in the topology and the geography of Eretz Yisrael. Amazing.
What is
those? Yeah, that's what I was saying before about Mordechai. This is Mordechai HaYehudi, he's Ishimi, Ishihudi. Right? So he becomes Binyamin, essentially, who acts now as a Hebrew, goes all the way back to Shaul, to Nov the Givon. That's all part of the thing. Shaul was lost because of Nov. Nov came because of the destruction of Shiloh. That was the transitional period again. Every transitional period has to have Binyamin. Right? We'll see here now too, between Mishkan Shiloh and Yehuda. It's Shaul's Malchus that's involved there. That whole Nov and Givon story. Back to the Yamin and Yamin.
So, Yamin is also called Ben, so it's for Ben Oni. Mm-hmm. It might relate to the Ta'aniya and the Oni.
Ah, good, good. Beautiful. Beautiful.
And then Chaim Gadeo of the Shalom pointed out to me that there's a problem in the world between Ephraim and Yamin because of Beit El. Sometimes it seems like Beit El is Ephraim, obviously, because sometimes it seems like it's part of Yamin.
Okay, but that's in the Malbim, that whole issue. The Malbim says now with this Gemara, Tavin, Eich, and he goes through that. In the Pasuk of the Gvur Mizraka by Tan Yashi.
Okay, so now here's the Mitzvah of when they gather Beit El and they call. And then they're coming there to the place. So some of the Mepharshim say, obviously, you can't be the real Beit El, it must be Yeshiva. But it's been called Beit El.
Right.
And now there's a place that you can see it, so that's the northern border, there's some kind of connection.
Amazing.
You mean Yerushalayim is called Beit El, no?
Yes. That's how Rashi understands the Kofas HaOretz. Mm-hmm. Not that he got there, but that actually Beit El itself moved, just for the occasion. Okay, but that's something that many Rishonim don't agree with.
And finally, the Shiva thing, which includes Rabbi Yaakov here, I think that knows it also, is the Maestro Rebbe.
You've just been inducted.
No,
you volunteered.
He said it, right, that the pottery was found in Chol HaRoah.
Right, yeah. We mentioned that earlier.
In the Shiva?
No, a few times.
They actually found that you have all the broken, because of Klicheris, you have to break when you use it for Kutchin. And it's all around Shiloh, because you could be, as long as you're Pichol HaRoyah. So any place with a beast thing, I'm sure you...
It's going up and going down.
All around you.
And they found the wall.
Amazing.
And they found the low wall, which was apparently the marker. But it's also an issue, because sometimes you're a little bit higher, and it's lower, and it's through the west.
Okay. So anyway, so maybe Kyle's son wasn't so bad after all. That's the bottom line. Kitanoi. Chofefo, the truth is that there's a machlokas tanoim about how to understand the chafifo of here. Chofefo la kolayom, so is understood this way too. Not the kol chafifo, but rather chofefo la of zemingash risha. Kol hayom is Migdash Sheni, Bein Ktefav Shachen is Yimot HaMashiach. Rebbe Omer, Chofef Olav is Olam Hazeh, Kol hayom is Yimot HaMashiach, who Bein Ktefav Shachen refers to Olam Haba. So here we were learning that Ta'aniyat Shiloh was also a type of Chafifa. It's not clear how the Machlokas here fits into that sheet of the Chlam. Tan Rabbana, Yemei Ohel Moed Shebamidbar Arba'im Shana Chaser Achat. The Ohel Moed was 39 years. Yemei Ohel Moed Shebegilgal was 14 Shana, which consisted of Sheva Shekavshu v'Sheva Shechilku. Yemei, we're going to go through the Cheshbon each of these things. Yemei Ohel Moed Shebenov v'Givon 57, and there was 57, as we'll see in the Pasuk. If you put together both Nov and Givon, which leaves to Shiloh, and the reason we say leaves to Shiloh is because we know the number of years in total from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim until the time of the Churban. And we know, we're going to go through the Cheshbon, and we know the number of years that the Bias stood. So if we know how long the Bias was, if we know how long the Nov and Givon was, and we know how long the Mishkan was, then we know what's left is 369. Pointed out the strange, you know, relationship of those numbers. So the leaves Shiloh now. The shtayr of the Shiloh shalosh melt v'shivim chaser achat, 370 years minus one.
Now, you may all know that the midbar is our boring pasarachas minolan. How do we know that? And it's pretty clear on my mar. Shanari shana asar masheret hamishkan. Shniyahu kam b'mishkan tifer shapasik. Vayi b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashini. That's when they started bringing now the siyams, those are the Imei HaMiluyim. And that's obvious. We know that the Moshe sent the Meraglim. The Shalach Moshe Meraglim was the second year. And then came the Gezerah. Arbaasre, if we know Meshav Gilgal, Arbaasre, Sheva Shekav, Sheva Shechalko. How do we know that? You know what? The Omar Kolev ben Arbaim Shana Anochi. Bishlach Moshe Ever Hashem Oti Mikadesh Bernea L'Ragel Et Haaretz Vashiva Todavar. I was 40 years old when I was sent from Kadesh Barnea by Moshe to be a Meragel, and when I came back Vashiva Todavar Kasher Im Livavi, which is the basis of that whole beautiful drasha, that I, in the end, initially I said things with my mouth that weren't, you know, that's the whole Kolev pretended to go along with them, and then when he came back, he was Meshiv Kasher Mlivavo, and that's why it's always referred to the Avdi Kalev Yana Aitavo Lev Akeret, and that's why his name is Kolev, right? It's called Lev. He had an entire loyalty in his heart. So he says, Ata Ine Anochi Ayom Ben Chamishim Ushmanu Shana, and now I am 85 years old. Now refers to now when he was coming. It says he came to say that he was promised the city of Hebron. And the thing is that this was after the Sheva Shekavshu, and now they started being Mechalek Eretz Yisrael. So he comes along and he says, okay, now I'm 85 years old, which means that he was, it had taken them 7 years to get to this point, because this was at the beginning of the Shas of the Chiluk. Now this was the, there was another 38 years in the Midbar following the Meraglim, and that leaves him now 7 years, and those 38, he was 40, and he's now 85, so there's 7 years that are unaccounted for. Those 7 years are the years of the Kibbutz. And so, ki abre the Yarden bar kama habe. How old was he when they crossed the Yarden? He was Shimon Mitzmani. Obviously, I mean, it was only 38 years later, so he was 40 years old. So then he was 78. And now he's saying he's 85. So if he's 85, then clearly it was Sheva Shekavshu. Now, how do we know Sheva Shekavshu? Well, Ibois Ema, first of all, could simply be a Svara. I mean, a Sheva Kavshu, Sheva Nami Cholku. I mean, obviously, if it took 7 years to be Kovach, and it's going to take 7 years to be Cholik, there's a famous Brisker Rav who says, you see, you know why you need a Rebbe to teach how to learn Gemara? Because this word don't make any sense. What kind of Svara is that? Yeah, but there is a very interesting and beautiful analysis in the Beis Yishai by Rav Fisher, who suggests like this. What do you mean the Sheva Shekosh? The Kvisha went on for generations, but there are always parts that have never been accomplished, right? So we keep finding there's new little wars. Don goes up. This, what is it? There's skirmishes all the time. Of war. And I mean, there's even times on Dovid HaMelech, he hadn't finished being Kovach until he went out and was Kovach Aram Sovah, and therefore it's called the Kvisha. I mean, so how do we call it Sheva Shekosh? Why Sheva Shekosh? Elazar Pshat is that because we see that the Chalukah began in after 7 years, that means that the Sheva Shekavshu is a halacha. It's not a historical point. There is a point in the process of kibush in which the land is given a din of kibush, so that up to a certain point you're in the process. At the end of 7 years, the process, even though it may still have a lot of unfinished edges, it's considered to be finished Levina. So there's a Kivush Lahalacha.
Is there any reference to when Reuven and Gad and Katsi Menashe were Mishukhar?
No, that's interesting. The Farish, that it was at the end of 7 years?
I don't know.
I know, it's not. I'm not saying that they went back.
How did they go?
Now, it must be that it was that same time. I mean, we only know that from Kolev. It doesn't give a date. There's no separate date.
You said it's kept the actual time.
Exactly, yeah. That's a beautiful point. Yeah.
it's the Gael Halacha, not only in terms of Kedushas Haaretz.
They'd be there forever.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, that's an excellent point. Why weren't they always in the Marines? It was a permanent situation.
Are you sure when he did the
Gemara? Anyway, let me just finish the point. Anyway, so since the Sheva now is a definition lahalacha of a process, then the Chalukah, which obviously was also a complex process, there were still problems later on, again with complaints and with Don and with all of the other tainas and the thought maybe of undoing some of it. All kinds of crazy things were going on, as the Gemara lists. So it's reasonable to say that the process, halacha of 7 years for Kedusha, would be applied to Chalukah as well. Mm-hmm. So that in terms of the halacha of Kedushas Haaretz, which is only after Moshe Lotechem, where you all have your place, so those Shvatim were still not completely set at the time. Well, we don't have our place. So it's not yet time to be Mechayev, let's say, in Yevo and in Shvita and so on. No, 7 years defines the process sufficient. But that's Kishra. So if that's the idea, then everything adds up. But there's also another way that we know, by tracing backwards, we know that there must have been Sheva Shechofer. How? And now this is incredible, and that's another one of these Dat Yomi madnesses that works out exactly according to the day. Because Arbaser Shana Achar Asher Hukta Ha'ir is how Yecheskel refers to his nevius about the Churban, and he says the craziest thing. He says, on Rosh Hashanah, he calls it, right? He says, Hukta Ha'ir B'Rosh Hashanah, and then he says, B'Perish B'Asor L'Chodesh Hazah Yad Var Hashem Elai Limor. It was on the 10th of the month. Now how could the 10th of the month be Rosh Hashanah? Ah, says the Gemara. There is a 10th of the month that's Rosh Hashanah. And that's Yom Kippur. In a year of Yovel, Yom Kippur is the Rosh Hashanah. That's when you do the Tkiyah Shofar and Torah. So Memela, what Yecheskel must have been saying is that 14 years after the Churban, it was time for Yovel, and it was Yom Kippur of Yovel. Now the problem is that only works out if we take the 14 years of Chalukah and Kibush Haaretz out of the Cheshbon. Because otherwise, we've got the two dates that are given is Shlomo HaMelech talks about the Migdash being built 480 years after coming out of Mitzrayim. And we know that the Migdash stood for 410 years. Those are the two dates that are given. So that means 850 years after the Churban, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? So we have now, as it worked out, it says, Vayivishvonim shana v'arba meot shana, Vayivin abayit l'ashem. Take out 480, 40 years in the Midbar, that's 440. Take the 410 years of Beis HaMikdash, it's 850. 850 gives you exactly 17 Yovalot, the 50 years, right? So then this Churban should have been 850. 40 from, does he take out 40 from 480 is 440. And 410 and 440 equals 850. 850 divided by 50 equals 17, which means that the Churban was in a Yovel. But it wasn't, because Yecheskel said it was 14 years after the Churban, was Yevo. Now obviously, that's because they were only Meina Shmita V'Yevois after the Kaloit of Kedushas Haaretz, which required Kibush and Tefillah. Now Kibush, we know, was 7 years, and it had to have been 7 years of Tefillah, even without the Sfarah. Amazing to come out.
According to this, we should be able to figure out the Yevos now, no?
Yeah, okay, well that's the whole shadow of what happened in the interim. Were they Meina the Yovels in order to Makwokas? Were they Meina Yovels in order to count Shemitah or not? And what, did they count the year of the Yovel? Was the year of the Yovel not counted? So on it, that's all part of the discussions of Shemitah Bismanasa. Okay, so since it could only come out, Arbasir Shana Achar Shehukta here, it Sheva Shechalku, so now everything works out beautifully. Let's end with that assumption.
The Rosh Hashanah of Yovel It's like a separate reference. And you blew the Kiyah Shofar again?
Sorry?
Rosh Hashanah Gavri, you blew the Kiyah Shofar again, right?
Yeah.
So you had the original Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
And then you had 10 days later, Nachar Rosh Hashanah. What about
the that Nachar Rosh Hashanah had a din of the Tfilat Hashanah of Yovel, the Gavri Shivu HaKavodim, was the conclusion. It's the only place in the Torah where we see the idea of the Yeshua Shabbim HaTzel. The Farish. I mean, that these 10 days are one process of Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, sure, and it's freedom, you know, which is the whole idea of tshuva. And tshuva is that, you know, the Briah Hadash is that you're free, you're let out of your box.
Which of did you do the Avodah Yom Kippur then?
Yes, of course.
And the tefillah of Yom Kippur.
It's beautiful. Amen. I made a terrible mistake. On the checks, it said, please send the receipt. I forgot to photograph the checks. Do you still have them?
No, I have photographs of all the checks.
Oh, you have? Oh, of course, Hashem. I need to send receipts.
We have photographs of every check.
Very good. I need to send receipts for each one of those $7 investments.
There's nothing to do with that. What is the ticket you put in?
Statistically, you get 30 people.
Are we doing any sugar?
It's a good day to do sugar.
When are we learning tomorrow night? Do you decide?
Tomorrow night is like 8, no?
Mostly Yom Kippur, yes. What time did we make up?
9 o'clock.
Are you at 9? Fine, good. Give us a sign to make a little sugar. How about now? Are we learning the sugar? Anybody want to learn?
I'll take down the
I'm telling you, he's getting in better every year.
I think the rain makes a difference, right? The
yes.
These are all from Italy, aren't they?
No.
Are they growing here?
No. Nice lemon.
Sure. Look, beautiful.
There's a picture like this on the cover.
Beautiful. Very nice. Who's this man?
They're all baby.
So what
of the three, which is the most mahudah?
Oh, he's asking.
I'm asking.
You're asking. How much does he charge for an essay?
65 shekels.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Kids knocked at my door last night for the holiest of holy sets. Mm-hmm. It was 180 shekels.
For a whole set.
180
shekels. Like the Christmas rhyme is one in the holiest of holies.
It'll come down.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the things I'm going to allow myself the actual search for.
Yeah, I would take this
one. Mine! He did take it.
This one?
Yeah. Better than this one.
Second
this one. It's much greener.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Right.
Here we go.
Right on
the green.
I don't know what to do. I have nothing to do.
This was the clean one.
It is, but it's not the clean one.
Great.
Wait a minute, one second. Let me see. This one is that first one.
Okay.
Yeah, the only problem is it had some. It's not as clean. It's much prettier.
Yeah.
This is much prettier than that. Yeah, it's just not as clean, but it's certainly halakhically acceptable. If you, it depends what you enjoy more, you know what I mean? So it's personally, if I. No, don't take this one. No, it's got a problem. It's a possible blessing.
Our children are much nicer.
But this is good.
These are Hershey bands.
I like the shed. It's just a little lopsided.
Yeah, no, it's exceedingly clean. It's very good.
How much do you think
that when you dug up the... No, we're going to talk about that.